Welcome back to Brass Bonanza.
It's after, so good to hear it.
After a month-long absence. We are here in Lot X after a 58-0, whatever noun you want to use on this one. In the last seven quarters against Colorado, Missouri has outscored Colorado 106-0.
Ooh.
There's my stat for the game, so I'm done now.
I highly doubt that's going to be your stat for the game.
Well, it is for tonight.
Okay.
I started projecting forward in the second half watching Missouri's freshman chase after Colorado's starters, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, so what'd you guys think?
I thought that we didn't need to put Daniel back out there in the fourth quarter. Yes, six touchdowns would have been lovely for a record or whatever, but we didn't need it, and he didn't need to take any potential damage. So other than that, certainly efficient, but short on the yards per pass. I'm sure you'll get to that come Tuesday and or Wednesday.
Yeah.
A good effort by the defense, and as you mentioned in the stands, a Bill Snyder move to put the starters back in to keep the shutout.
I'm telling you, my 2003 K-State analogy is just going to get stronger and stronger if we keep pulling Bill Snyder moves like that. We'd like to welcome to his first podcast, Mr. GHT D36.
Yeah, nailed it.
Awesome.
I don't
I've had a year. I've had a year of practice on that one. Thoughts?
Well, thank you for inviting me. I got a call from the Asian kid prior to this, and he says, "Yeah." My thoughts are the first thing that hit my mind after watching that game was that was the best game I think I've seen this linebacking core play probably since the Cotton Bowl. I thought that they were all over the place. Now, the one thing, and I was telling RPT this on the way over, I'm taking exactly everything in this game with a grain of salt.
Oh, yeah.
Colorado is not a great team. They're not an elite team. I will say, however, and the defensive line played great. That offensive line is kind of patchwork at this point. But overall, you know, the offense was pretty good. I wouldn't say that they were elite tonight, but they were pretty good. And, I mean, anytime you can hang 58 on a team and not give up any, not a whole lot of room for criticism.
Yeah, Brock Christopher's name was called a lot tonight. That was nice to hear. I mean, this is hopefully a preview of the next three games. We got the two toughest conference games out of the way, and now we play the four. Today was the start of a string of four straight games against the worst four offenses in the conference. So, hopefully this was a sign of good things to come. It was definitely nice seeing the spirit at the end there, both in the stands and on the field, making sure the Colorado didn't score. Uribe? Yo, go ahead.
And that's the question. Are those last few plays, do those count as high-leverage situations? What's the leverage on those? Because obviously, that team's going to be fired up at that point.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when it's in my stats, defense has played now very well in on drives where they're up 58.
Excellent.
So hopefully that'll come in handy later on in the season.
I think so.
Uribe, you got it?
Looking back on it, Colorado hadn't been shut out in their last, like, 250-something games. And also Chase Kaufman breaking the the career receptions record, but being the unoriginal hacks that you are, I bet you both knew that.
Well, I should hope that I knew it since I wrote about it on Monday. Just glad that everybody reads that. First off, I'd like to give a shout-out to my wife for sponsoring dessert during the podcast.
Dessert is very good.
Hip, hip,
okay, all right, all right.
In fact, I'm going to go take a break and get one.
All right, it's all you, Ross.
Basically, all I come out of that game thinking is you do not piss off this team after 2 weeks. That was 2 weeks of frustration and about, I don't even want to say 60 minutes of football, because I don't even think they cared for 60 minutes, yeah, to be honest. But, yeah, it's a bad night to be Colorado right now.
Yeah, I started thinking, I realized, you know, having been at the 99 K-State 66-0 game, this was almost that bad. I mean, it wasn't 35-0 in the first quarter, but it was certainly bad enough. I'm being offered a cupcake, but I can't hold the recorder and the cupcake, so I got one anyway. Whoa!
I want a mention.
All right. And Beefy's wife gets another mention. So, all right, so quick position by position breakdown.
Chase, fine. Running backs, fine. Wide receivers, fine.
Hey, shout out to Devin Moore, who looked really fast on his little his final carry of the game, I guess.
Blaine Gabbert, 1-for-1 plays to touchdown.
I'm telling you, yeah. When the Blaine Gabbert led offense averaged over 50 yards a play. I mean, there's really not. Most of the passes went to Mack and Coppin and Tommy Saunders, which was fine. I would have kind of hoped in a 58-point win we would have gotten the freshman a little more involved. Jarrell Jackson had a pass thrown at him by Chase Kaufman, but it wasn't exactly what you would call catchable.
It was more of an attempted murder than catchable.
Yeah, almost. It was almost a hell of a catch, or he almost lost a hand, one or the other. But
and then I have to say, I did call the Tebow jump pass before it happened. Uribe can back me up on third down.
Also,
I began yelling
called,
Tebow jump pass.
He also called that Denario Alexander would have a touchdown today.
Ah, well, all right.
And I will also say we did throw, I think, 4 or 5 passes to the running backs out in the flex. I recall watching, I think, caught 3. Goldsmith caught 2.
He's technically a wide receiver now.
We threw about 5 passes outside to the running backs out in the flat. I think Washington caught 3, and I think Goldsmith caught 2.
There was one ball that Chase sailed maybe a foot and a half over Derek Washington's head that he went up and got with a defender top of him. That's the kind of play you haven't seen from a Missouri tailback in this offense.
At one point, and thanks to the boy on this one, Kaufman had thrown over 50 straight passes on Faroe. Excuse me, Daniel had thrown 50 straight passes on Faroe that hadn't hit the ground.
Yeah.
Now, most had gone to us, a few to the other team, but none of them were incomplete.
Yeah, because he finished 25 for 27 against OSU with 2 interceptions, and then he had started whatever it was tonight
13
about
13 of 14 at least.
We're talking at least 40 passes that Daniel threw without hitting the ground.
And then I think he went on a little bit more of a run before he sailed that one over whoever's head.
Macklin, I think, yeah. And, I mean, granted, in the Big 12, that just means you're one of the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the conference. But,
Talk about the day in the Big 12 a little bit, since we don't really have too much about this game left?
Yeah, this was, I guess it was nice seeing Nebraska at least beat Baylor and not have a complete south to north sweep.
Yeah.
But, obviously we didn't see any of the Texas-Oklahoma State game, but we did get to listen to and watch a lot of the Tech-Kansas game.
Well, and I tell you what, part of me wants to think that Missouri team saw that game today and said, you know what, we can come out and make a statement and we can say, we don't, you know, yeah, the last 2 weeks have sucked, but, you know, we can put our foot down and really take control of the Big 12 North. And I think, obviously, they did that tonight.
I was a little worried that if the team came out flat, you know, the crowd, we're still not used to winning. We're still a little wary. You can tell, you know, everything starts puckering a little when things get kind of tight, like it was, you know, the Oklahoma State game was just one big inhalation, pretty much. But when you start off 21-0 up after about, 10 minutes or so, it just becomes kind of fun, I guess.
I think you have to be careful when you say the word puckering on a podcast, because that can be misconstrued.
Well, that was the goal. So, any thoughts on? Well, obviously the defense played well. We didn't give up any points, albeit to a bad defense. But any thoughts on the defensive line? Jacque, did anybody actually see Tommy Chavis on the field?
No,
I don't.
He got announced.
I saw his name on the scoreboard.
Right.
That was about it.
He got announced as a starter. I never saw him. Every time
Sulak reappeared.
Jacque Smith is the 2008 version of 2006 Sean Weatherspoon, where. Weatherspoon didn't actually make a play all season in 2006, but boy, did he look good.
Yeah.
And we just assumed he was going to do good things the next year, and he did. So hopefully same thing happens with Jacquees here. But
God decided to grace us with his divine presence.
Brian God Coulter with his first great play as a Missouri Tiger with an awesome rush. Just bowled over the guy.
How about Justin Garrett pile driving?
Oh, man.
And then giving
it didn't require him to be in coverage.
Yeah, well, and then the next play they completed a long third down pass, but so that was just kind of the. But no, that was good to see. Everybody was hitting hard. I mean, Colorado just has nothing to offer. And,
man, they're in trouble.
And I guess that leads a little bit to what I was hinting at earlier. I started thinking about 2009 when we're out here, winning by 50 in the second half, and. Boy, the North isn't very looking what you would call good. And it almost kind of, you start projecting forward, it almost looks like despite Missouri losing 20 starters next year or whatever, it's going to be Missouri versus Kansas again. You think about Kansas, they're going to lose pretty much their entire defense and their offensive line. But they're going to have Reese and Briscoe. I guess that's pretty much it, but that'll be something. Nebraska's going to lose Gans and Lucky and a couple offensive linemen, whatever defensive player playmakers they have, they're losing.
They're going to lose lucky. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, he's not going to win. No, he's going to win the Heisman this year. Did you see his stat line against Baylor today?
Oh, okay. I mean,
Heisman worthy.
And as we're talking about this, I can't decide really what looks worse, if it's MC putting a doom standing over there just with his hand in his pocket.
Refusing to participate.
Or the boy's pink cell phone. So, I mean, it's a toss-up. That's all basically I have to offer at this point, so I'm going to go ahead and, yeah.
Quick explanation, I have to use my wife's cell phone tonight. Shut up, all of you. Okay. So that, I mean, Nebraska's not looking, you know, they might be all right. Colorado, I mean, they're going to bring a lot of guys back next year, but does it matter? I mean, their defense is okay, but they're actually losing Hippolyte and Ryan Walters and a couple linebackers.
I don't even know that I heard Hippolyte's name tonight either.
And Rabbit Goldfish held silent.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so.
Speechless.
I mean, Colorado, I'm trying to stumble through that one. Colorado doesn't really have a lot. Obviously, I mean, Iowa State, salty, and still not going to be talented next year. K-State's going to have 40 seniors, and
none of them worth a damn next year.
And none of them came in as freshmen.
And so this does offer Missouri an opportunity at the very least. If they have a quarterback who can just, you know, not turn the ball over every time he touches the ball, establish a running game, play okay defense, you know, and go 5-3 and win the North again next year, that'll be kind of nice. Because it really is at this point. We don't have a national title to look forward to this year, obviously. It's really just kind of establishing Missouri's dominance of the North. That's the main goal right now, and obviously today was a very good first step, both in beating Colorado and in seeing Kansas secondary, well, in their entire defense, just get shredded by Texas Tech. I'm holding out hope now that Texas and Nebraska will both beat Kansas, and so the game at Arrowhead won't mean jack. We can just take that one off and still make the Big 12 title game.
Do we look ahead to Baylor now? Do we want to talk about that?
Sure.
A little bit of a segue. I'm glad they got to see Tyler Hansen tonight, and it wasn't all Cody Hawkins.
Tyler, don't call me Taylor.
Absolutely. Yeah. More than anything, no one's going to get him confused with Robert Griffin, but just the idea of the threat coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, he didn't really get anywhere, but he was pretty elusive. Yeah. I guess
he
the difference.
One of the more beautiful zero-yard games.
And Robert Hot Tub Griffin will be that elusive, but he will also get upfield at least a couple times. And
can we get Beavis to do that again?
Do that one more time. All right. It'll be. I mean, you got to figure they scored 20 points against Nebraska. They scored 6 against Oklahoma State. You know, they're just Robert Griffin's allowed to make a couple nice plays. I can't wait to hear Cadillac and Mike Kelly describe those great plays next week.
Wow, that's something, I'll tell you, Mike.
And him down at the 50, pop down at the 26, that kind of thing. But, it should be good, but in theory, we won't miss much, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
Visually, it'll be stunning.
Yeah, it'll be great. And that leads to K-State the week after Senior Day, which Tommy Saunders was my guest for wearing number 25 on Senior Day. I got nothing now.
Ziggy Hood.
Or William Moore, I guess.
My favorite.
Because Moore hasn't. Who wore it the first game?
That was Brock.
Brock. Okay.
Brock Flag and Eagle.
has Weatherspoon worn it?
Oh, he's a junior.
He's a junior.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. By the way, has his stock, his draft stock, just has it hit space yet?
Well, he had an opportunity last week to really kind of put his name out there, and he didn't at all. And so I don't know how much they'll, you know, dominating teams like Colorado and things like that, I don't know if that'll get him as much. I hope it doesn't get him as much attention because he needs to be the backbone of this defense next year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's the class, at the very least, he's the class of the Big 12 North. And Brock Christopher made his own play for that title this week.
And Luke Lambert continues to play very solidly. Yeah. I look forward to him being around. But, yeah, you make a good point. If Weatherspoon comes back next year, that – between him and Alexander, at least providing some very experienced and very athletic players out there, I'll feel better.
Did you say Alexander?
Denario Alexander.
Oh, okay. It's like Van's a senior.
No. And nice to see him out there, too.
You made a tackle.
Yeah. No, I mean, the defense next year will be kind of, since we kind of randomly seek back to that, pop this in there. I mean, if Weatherspoon does come back, we'll have Weatherspoon and Lambert. We'll have Jacquees on the line. We'll have Jerron Baston on the line. Carl Geddes, hopefully Kenji Jackson will live up to our own expectations of him. And there will be
Coulter will.
That depth at the linebacking core, it was a concern at the start of the year, but the way Ebner's played, Gatzker's been able to come back well, all of a sudden that's starting to look like a strength.
And hopefully, again, all we have to do is dominate the North next year and have a competent quarterback, and hopefully that comes together.
Oh, and who's the one recruit that we got that we talked about maybe playing that's a linebacker? that they were going to maybe bring in. He was in between a linebacker and a safety. They
were Xavier Gooden, I guess he's still a defensive back, but I'm, you know.
Do we need to touch on recruits tonight?
Sure, yeah.
Bryce, I don't know that the night could have gone any better.
I know, sell out crowd, homecoming, where we can pretend like we have a history. And you know, the offense going crazy. Bryce Brown and Jerani Boyd, obviously you would be welcome additions immediately next year. And, yeah, I mean, this couldn't have gone any better as far as recruiting goes. We'll see what happens. I'm sure everybody will be tuned to Power Mizzou tomorrow evening as Gabe and Freeman breathlessly report on.
And Phil. Don't forget about Phil.
And Phil, whatever, love post.
Posa.
Yeah, there you go.
Does a great job with baseball. I'll give a shout out to Phil for that.
Okay, awesome. Go, Phil.
Don't know Phil, but I'll shout out him.
So, but anyway, this was anytime you can win 58-0. I mean, this was there's not a whole lot to say, but
and yet we found a way.
Oh yeah, we've killed over 15 minutes now, and I'm sure you're dying to hear Brass Bonanza again, but
Lord knows I am.
Yeah, but assuming that you know, Baylor doesn't pop up and bite us next week. I know somebody here has been worried about the Baylor
I'm
game all year.
I am telling you, I called it at the beginning of the year. I don't think Missouri will lose, but I think that Baylor is going to give them a game. And I will be there, so I will take pictures.
Oh.
Okay.
Well. That is the kind of far-reaching hand that we here at Rock M Nation provide to you, our listener and reader.
Baylor might beat us. They probably won't, and I'll have pictures.
There you go.
But hopefully 2 weeks from now you'll hear another podcast where we have now won through, where we will have won three in a row, and we'll be sitting at whatever we'd be sitting at, 5-2.
5-2.
4-2.
4-2.
Something. Whatever.
Cue the band.
Yeah, cue Brass Bonanza. Let's get out of here. It's cold. See you guys.